5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
There is no other institution that has the ability uniquely.
Without a heritage, every generation starts over.
Ask not.
To remind the current regime.
What your country.
We the people tell the government what it is allowed to do.
To get back in their box and stay there.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
From the Heritage Foundation, this is Heritage Explains.
You probably have heard of the Watergate scandal that plagued the Nixon administration. You might have heard of the Teapot Dome scandal that tarnished the legacy of Warren G. Harding. But I'm guessing you've never heard about Ulysses S. Grant and the Whiskey Ring scandal. It turns out that in the 1870s, government officials colluded with whiskey distillers to commit fraud by underreporting the amount of whiskey the distilleries were producing. This amounted to a tax break for the distilleries and generous kickbacks for the officials. The conspiracy had spread across multiple states and amounted to millions of dollars in evaded taxes by the time it was discovered by a dedicated group of whistleblowers, journalists, and investigators. While Grant was not implicated, members of his senior staff were, and the scandal was a devastating blow to his administration. As Mark Twain said, history does not repeat, but it often rhymes. And through the years, American officials, especially presidents, have had to answer uncomfortable questions about the measures they did and did not take, the information they did and did not know. The Biden administration now finds itself in one such moment. In 2022 and 2023, classified documents from Joe Biden's time as a senator and vice president were found in his personal residence and offices. A probe into the situation by special counsel Robert Hur has reached certain conclusions on the president's culpability for wrongdoing, as well as his fitness for holding the nation's highest office. Moreover, there are real concerns about how Capitol Hill has behaved toward the special counsel's probe. Here to help us understand what's going on and what the implications are is Mike Howe, Executive Director of the Oversight Project at the Heritage Foundation. Mike Howe, can you tell us who you are and what you do at the Heritage Foundation?
I am Mike Howell, as you mentioned, and I'm the Executive Director of our Oversight Project, which is our litigation and investigative arm.
So what does the Oversight Project do day to day?
Day to day, we fight with the left in the forum of investigations and litigation. And so, like, it is not sufficient just to shout out what you think. You have to take the fight to the other side and force them to respond. And so what we do is we gather uncomfortable facts through unconventional means, and then we often sue in a connection with those facts or to obtain more. And so constantly adverse to the left in this space of, you know, transparency and investigations and putting some points on the board to that end.
What made you decide that you wanted to, you know, chase government officials around for a living?
Well, I've been doing this for a while in one capacity or the other on Capitol Hill and then defending against such things in the Trump administration. But this is where the fight is. I mean, the left does not do the same things the right does on a day-to-day basis. They're interested in generating and creating scandals and causing some damage to the other side. And I think too long on the right, we've sat back and thought just our ideas on our own would win people over in hearts and minds. And that's unfortunately not the way the United States of America works in 2024. We have been in an asymmetrical war where the left has been kicking our butts nonstop for decades. And I think it's time that the right adopts a fighting posture. So that's what we aim to do.
Nice. So today there was a hearing on Capitol Hill featuring special counsel Robert Hur. And they were talking about documents that were found at the residence and the offices of Joe Biden. Can you take us back, because things like this tend to get really muddy really quickly. Can you take us back to the beginning? What preceded all of this hearing that we're going to talk about here today?
Right. So let's go back 40 years. A young upstart man from Delaware named Joe Biden became senator as the youngest senator there. And then instantly him and his family began trading on his name and peddling influence at a small scale and then working its way up through, you know, Delaware, which obviously does a lot of work in the finance industry, a big, you know, corporate headquarters place, and a lot of pay to play along the way. And then took this thing into supercharge when Joe Biden was vice president and his son, you know, who was cracked out, to use the term, was running a poor imitation of the Clinton Global Foundation, basically just selling access to corners of the world like Ukraine, the CCP, et cetera. And basically the biggest pay-to-play operation we've seen in America and the biggest foreign capture of a first family that's ever happened, I would guess, maybe even in the world, and with the Chinese access and compromising information they have on the Bidens. But today was about one small aspect of that that the Republicans failed to connect to the bigger picture. And that was Biden's unlawful retention of classified documents over the course of many decades. I mean, you, if you're listening to this, you probably saw the pictures of them being stored in his garage elsewhere, the Penn Biden Center, which is in Chinatown of all places. And, you know, that's what they talked about today. Her was a special counsel who was appointed to look at how Biden handled classified information. He ultimately found, hey, Joe Biden broke virtually every law in the book with regards to how you're supposed to deal with this stuff. He had no business having this information, storing it in these places, but he's too old and senile to face trial, so we're not going to charge him.
So what kind of stuff are we talking about when we talk about documents?
Right. So various security classification markings. Obviously, there's a lot of different types of markings for different types of information. A lot of it was national defense related information. A lot of this connected to a book that Joe Biden was working on. And when I say working on, don't get the idea that he's sitting there with pen and paper. No, we have a ghostwriter doing it. But he had documents to inform kind of, you know, that effort. A lot of things related to Afghanistan, foreign policy type documents that he had no business having. And a lot of them from his time in the Senate, which is even worse because a U.S. senator doesn't have the, you know, level of access that a president has where a president can decide what's classified or not. These documents predate any of that.
So Special Counsel Hur found the president to be at fault, but did not go so far as to, I'm not sure what the legal term is, to accuse him or to indict him or things like that. What was the outcome? What did he find? How did he justify it?
So he found basically, you know, a couple hundred pages explaining what I just said, but decided not to refer him for prosecution. He didn't charge him because he thought a jury would find that Biden was, you know, a old guy who wasn't worth prosecuting at this moment and couldn't, you know, remember things accurately, and people would view him as a sympathetic witness. And so on those grounds, he said, yeah, we think he broke, you know, all the elements of this law, but we don't think a jury would probably convict because so much of this has to do with your intent. And it's going to be hard to prove an intent when you have a senile, elderly person who can't, you know, formulate full sentences and recall things. And so that's kind of what the report, you know, ended with and what was the focus of a lot that was discussed on Capitol Hill today.
So what was the response to this report when it first came out from the White House, Capitol Hill, the media? How have people responded?
Right. So this is an important point to make because I think it paints a broader problem that we have where the left dictates the terms in which we operate. They instantly framed this report when it came out as a right-wing villain exceeds his bounds by gratuitously calling the president senile when that's not true. And so instead of the right, you know, shaping the argument in a way that I will get to in a minute, which would have been much more beneficial, the right spent their time trying to rehabilitate her and saying, oh, he's not that far, you know, right wing. Like, and that was the conflict. The left was saying he had no business saying that and he's just a right wing agitator. And then the right just responded to that fight in the terms that the left sent. And they ignored so much more out there that would have actually been winning territory. And so today was an incredibly frustrating hearing to watch. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a hearing. A hearing is, you know, what it sounds like. You should be listening to someone. Her should be saying things and developing a record. It was basically a bunch of Congress people preening and prying, you know, for the cameras and using their 5 minutes to talk 4 minutes of the time and, you know, laying no new ground. A lot of duplication. It was frankly boring. It was very boring. I wouldn't encourage anybody here to watch it. Just pull up the transcript and control F for her and see what he actually said. And you'll find that it wasn't much in the way of news at all. And that's because Congress virtually failed at this function today.
So what was the stated purpose of today's hearing, and what would you have liked to have seen happen?
Right. So the stated purpose is, I mean, it's usual. When a special counsel releases a report, they later go to Congress and testify about it. This has happened with a lot of previous special counsels. You remember the Mueller hearing, which was the left Super Bowl, so their Merry Christmas. And so that was the purpose. You know, it's when a special counsel releases a report, they come to the Hill and talk about it. What Republicans, you know, should have asked, and I say only Democrats should have asked it too, but we know they're not after the truth. It's you know, a political fight, is why did her basically just spend a couple hundred pages articulating what is already known? If you have a corrupt politician trading classified information and you already know he has it in places he shouldn't have it, What the public deserves to know is what was he doing with that classified information? We know that Joe Biden operated dozens of pseudonym emails and burner phone devices, okay? These are devices and communication trails designed to evade transparency. They're things crooks do. Her gave no indication that he even looked at those places. And if you go back to the Hillary Clinton saga, like at least James Comey, and I'm no fan of his, at least he went after the email trains and tried to go after the server that she set up in her bathroom that they bleach bitted. Her wasn't even curious about the fact of what did Biden do with this stuff. How does holding decades worth of classified information connect to a massive corruption scandal? He wasn't willing to connect those two things. And the Republican lawmakers completely missed the boat on this. They were just so happy that Hur said something derogatory about Biden being old, which, by the way, we didn't need Robert Hur to say. Most people in this country know that Joe Biden is incompetent. I saw a poll yesterday. 6 out of 10 Democrats know that Joe Biden is incompetent, okay? You do not need the DOJ to say that. Although, sure, is it true and helpful? Of course. But that's not what this should have been about. This should have been about, why was a corrupt politician in a corrupt family holding information they shouldn't have when they were making money from the enemies of the United States and corrupt officials across the globe? And Hur just didn't do that, and Republicans celebrated him anyways.
There have also been concerns about the White House's posture towards this whole action by the special counsel in the way that President Biden answered or did not answer questions. Can you talk about some of those concerns as well?
Right. So the White House counsel and, the White House more broadly has been pushing back against Hur's report, primarily because they did not like the characterizations of Joe Biden's memory and his competence. So those are the grounds they've been pushing back on. They asked the special counsel to change parts of the report. He didn't, et cetera. The White House has been messaging, over the last few weeks how this is gratuitous slander, all that kind of stuff. And so, again, that is where the left dictates the terms of which the fight will be. And so we're focusing on that one aspect of whether Hur should have called Biden old and incompetent when we're not focusing on elsewhere. The Republicans, for lack of a better word, they took the bait. They took the bait. Okay, they could have said special counsel Hur failed in his job because he didn't do X, Y, and Z. How can you have a special counsel blind to the connectivity of classified information dealing and international influence peddling and corruption? But instead, they wanted to fight on the grounds of MSNBC anchors and Joe Biden, which is why the left kills us in messaging. They took what should have been a big negative for them and actually, vastly, greatly mitigated the potential damage from this report and, played it to basically a long, boring drawl today. What could have been a bombastic, big news-making day instead was a no-blood drawl, frankly, boring hours of just members hoping they can get some clips on Twitter that no one's going to watch.
So what is the Oversight Project's posture towards this?
Max aggression. We're in almost 70 lawsuits right now. We were in court on Monday suing the other special counsel, David Weiss, the guy who wanted to get Hunter let out of jail for his influence and peddling scheme up in Delaware, which we blew up that plea deal. And so virtually at every level of these various controversies, we're involved in litigation in some aspects. With regard to Hur, this special counsel, we sued him and Merrick Garland, his old boss, because Hur resigned. Because we don't want just the transcript of this Biden interview where he, couldn't remember when his son died and, apparently made a car noise. He was going like, I want to go brrr, and they had to change it in the transcript. Just bizarre stuff. I want to see the recording. I think the American people deserve to see what their president looks like under stress because I think that would be politically devastating for him. And then also, the American people deserve to know. They just frankly deserve to know if the guy in charge of the nukes that can make things go boom is incompetent. I think most people know he is at this point, but that recording belongs to us of the interview, and so we're going to sue and get it, along for all the photographs that they use, everything else in the investigation, because also I want to make the point that Hur didn't do a good enough job. He didn't go places that he was supposed to go and was a failure, and I'm afraid that he's going to be positioned as some sort of like hero after this, and I won't let that happen.
Is there anything else that you think Americans should know about this?
They should know that they're living in the peak of American corruption and it's been normalized and they do not have adequate defenses right now. I mean, the CCP has, bought and paid for basically the first family and large swaths of the political class here in America. It's more profound on the left, but there's still elements of it on the right. And you can see that playing out every single day and the crumbling deterioration of our civil society and some of the things China is funding in our homeland, whether it's, you know, addicting our children to TikTok, or which they don't even allow in China, whether it's flooding fentanyl over the border and killing hundreds of thousands of Americans, or whether it's Chinese billionaires paying for basically the transgender movement so children can castrate themselves and create social chaos in the U.S. They should know all of those things that are asymmetrical, non-kinetic warfare that are occurring now. Their leadership class could not care less about, because they're bought off and paid for, or they've been, you know, are in some sort of elite capture where they're unwilling to touch it for political reasons. And you kind of basically saw that play out today. Like, we should be a five-alarm fire talking about CCP influence in the U.S., particularly with regards to the Bidens, who were bought and paid for by the CCP. That is well established, in fact. And I don't think China came up at all today in the hearing. I don't think it came up once. And so we have a leadership class that's asleep at the wheel, going for Twitter clicks, and things aren't looking good.
Knowing all this, what should people do?
Yeah, what should people do is they shouldn't accept the routine as acceptable. I mean, we're in this feedback rhythm where even the people that we were predisposed to be rooting for on Capitol Hill and elsewhere, we're willing to accept subpar results for them. And we shouldn't accept that, and we shouldn't cheer like this is just some sports game. Like, your reaction shouldn't just be to red team versus blue team. You should be pushing hard for your guys to do the right thing. That comes down to hard decisions. Like today, they should have used this moment in time and in history to actually focus on the huge problem and not on the MSNBC talking point fight. In a couple weeks here, they're going to decide whether they're going to fund an invasion of the United States or not. Like, a decision on whether the government and DHS can operate as is, or if we're actually going to stop the invasion of the U.S., which is an existential problem amongst many right now. And so I think the optimistic note is, like, look, things are bad now, but they're bad because what we're all doing isn't working. And so the optimism is there's another way and there's a chance to do it right. And I think one step of that is, like, stop just cheering along subpar efforts just because it's like this red team, blue team stuff. I think we can kick our leadership class into gear and they'll respond if we kind of change our tactics.
Mike Howe, thank you.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Thank you to Mike Howe for his contribution to today's episode. You can find more from Mike on X at mhowelltweets and follow his work on the Oversight Project at heritage.org/oversight. And thank you, as always, to you for listening to Heritage Explains. If you have any thoughts or feedback for us, we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach out at heritageexplains@heritage.org. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Heritage Explains is brought to you by more than 500,000 members of the Heritage Foundation. It's written and produced by Mark Guiney, Lauren Evans, and John Popp.